Okay, I'll pray according to my tradition and invite you to pray according to yours. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today as free Americans. Lord, we pray that you will give us discernment and wisdom as we go about trying to make a difference in this country. Bless our time here together today, and I pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Okay. You should have speaked at all of the way.
Okay, yes, so everybody, we need to make sure to speak into your microphone so that people on the phone can hear. Those who don't know me, my name is Catherine Littlebrecht. I'm the founder of Free to Vote. Here this morning from New York, we've been thrilled to be a part of the meeting live and in person. On the phone with us, well, I guess we need to go around next and have everyone introduce themselves. Okay, so we'll start with you.
I'm Allison Hoskins, the other one.
Cheryl Coffin, the phone consumer and son.
Alan Webb. My dad's name is Senator Security Policy.
Jared Boykin, Family Research Council.
Sebastian Gould, Professor of Regular Warfare. My wife is here momentarily from the West and into the Institute.
Sarah Lee, from Republican Studies.
Christian Adams.
John Fonte, Hudson Institute.
Tom Fitton, official one.
Anita Moncrief, True to Vote.
Evan Murphy, has two party Patriots.
Tom and Mary, also Independent. Thanks, everyone. We also have joining us on the phone John Bolton, Dean Clancy, Sue Myrick. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, let me. I'm taking roles. So if you are on the call and I say your name, please let us know. John Bolton. Dean Clancy.
Yep, I'm here.
Excellent. Sue Myrick. Michael James Barton.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Great. Sandy Rios.
I'm here.
And then Ken Blackwell.
I'm here, and that was
an
indecision
over
express.
He's out of the room.
Hey, was that you, BBM?
That's the big black man.
Steve Bannon.
Fred.
Dan Mogino, Richard Manning,
here.
Jenny Thomas,
present.
Myron Ebbels,
yep.
Michael Flynn,
yep.
Diana Bannister, and Brian Baker. Okay, well, I think we know who the players are this morning. Okay, so our first two speakers of the morning are not with us at this point, so we are going to skip straight down to ask General Boykin to speak with us about Benghazi.
Frank and I actually had meetings last night with Speaker Boehner and Representative Issa on this. We've been pushing with support of Congressman Wolf as well as Congressman Gohmert for a special committee. And I think it's okay to share with you, would you say so, Frank, that the speaker was, I thought he was very coherent last night as we talked about this, and that he believes that the process needs to play out before we get a special committee. His concern is that the media will portray this as just simply an attempt to bring down the Obama administration until the current committee system plays itself out. When we met with ISA, I thought ISA was very coherent in terms of what he expects. He does not expect today's committee hearings to be the end of it. He actually thinks that this will stimulate additional hearings. But the people he's bringing in today, and he's only has three people coming in, and it's these three, quote, whistleblowers. But there will be some critical things that will come out today as he talks to them. They will reveal some things, and part of it, you know, part of what we've been focused on, and I know Alan has been very concerned, as I have been, as to why there was no military response and no one's ever given a satisfactory answer. And as I said to the speaker last night, there's an American value, an American ethos that was violated, and it is very important not only to the families, but it is very, very important to every soldier, sailor, airman, marine, or diplomat that's put in harm's way in the future. I think the speaker understands that, and I certainly know that Representative Issa does. So I think we'll see some things that will come out today that will begin to whittle away at our big question, why no military response? There will be some answers today, I think, on that. I think some of it is going to be, we got an ugly baby here, and it's going to get uglier today. I guess that's what I would say. We are not backing away from our call for a special committee with subpoena power, bipartisan, to try and get to the bottom of this whole Benghazi situation. But I think in the end, what we're going to find is there was malfeasance, there was ineptitude, and there was a huge deception that went on before, during, and after this whole thing. And I think that what we're finding today is that Hillary Clinton made some egregious decisions, and the president was basically absent from his post and did not make the decisions that, as the commander-in-chief, he should have been making, and because he was focused on some other things. So, again, the key takeaway here is we're not backing away from a special committee. We're still pushing for that. But we kind of have a pledge from both, I think, Issa and the speaker, that they want the system to play out a little more before they start to call for that. The speaker did say he's not opposed to it, but he wants to let the committee structure, as it stands right now, continue until it would potentially merit bringing a special committee. Frank, anything you want to say on that?
Well, I think that's basically right. One of the things that I took away from it was a sense that they appreciate that the wheels are coming off this cover-up, and that the playing out may not be that much longer, depending on what happens today. I was heartened when we talked to Chairman. I said that he said that he had taken a lesson from past hearings, and both especially I pointed him to Senator Inhofe's performance as the ranking member on the Senate Armed Services Committee during the Chuck Hagel nomination, which was to get their act together, you know, to be disciplined, to be focused, not to waste the time making speeches, but to really do the interrogatory. And he assured me that that's what they were going to do. So if they do, then I think one of two things probably happens as a result. There's an unleashing of the oversight committee to do this as an existing standing committee with, you know, subpoena powers and the responsibility, or we go to the select committee room. So I was somewhat encouraged that they're taking this thing very much to heart, and we really impressed upon them that there's a lot of restiveness on the part of folks like us and some of their donors, as a matter of fact, about what's happening.
Cast on their attention. If we've got a minute left in our time, I'd like to ask Alan to talk just briefly about a press conference tomorrow that I really would like for everybody to be focused on tomorrow, because I don't think the news is going to cover this.
Back in August of 2011, there was an incident where a Chinook helicopter carrying members of SEAL Team 6 was shot down in Afghanistan. Former constituents of mine, Billy and Karen Vaughn, lost their son in that incident. They're going to have a press conference tomorrow at the National Press Club at 10 o'clock, and several families and also family members of the National Guard, Billy was a pilot. They're going to talk about the administration's implications in that incident that occurred. And this has been something that's been going on for quite some time. They're going to talk about rules of engagement, several other things, employment procedures and processes, that things have been violated. So that would be a very important incident to, I mean, an event for us to keep an eye on. And I'll be there. I know that Jim Boykin is going to be there. We have a participatory part in it as well. So again, we see the administration has some issues with, you know, things that are going on in the combat theater engagement as well as what we saw happen in Benghazi. And I believe that eventually General Hamm and Admiral Stavridis will probably be called up for this whole thing about, you know, who gave the standout order, because once again, that's fun. So, thank you.
I'm going to jump in right here with messaging and action items. Are there any action items for Benghazi or messaging for the police? I know this has been picking up on Twitter. And also, there is quite an interest in the blogosphere about your press conference. I was hoping to do a joint blogger conference call with both the one that Frank is doing on Thursday and the one that you guys are doing. So maybe we can talk about that afterwards and see if we can get a couple of speakers on that.
I mean, this is a C-band. I'm sorry, I just pause in here for a second. I strongly recommend the message discipline is everything on Benghazi. We strongly, strongly recommend that there's no mention of the return of the president, there's no talk about Hillary Clinton. Those issues are not relevant right now. And only that can politicize this and to hurt the goal. The entire goal and focus should be a select committee with its own general counsel. If we get that, if we continue to press as this search for truth, right? We'll get that select committee. We'll get the general counsel and things will take their natural evolution. People are getting ahead of the wagon train. There's been a bunch of op-eds, others, about impeachment of the president, how it's going to bring down the president. That is a certainty to lose this. We have great discipline on that topic.
We agree.
I think it's got to be a search for truth. All the pressure, like General Boykin, yeah, talking to the speaker, things that we're doing is to get the select committee appointed sometime, get a general counsel that then can subpoena people, put people under oath for testifying, get a formal process really going instead of this grab bag process they have today. If we do that, then other things are attainable. But to the degree people are going to try to talk about impeachment and all these other things that are just not in the cards right now, but could be, if this is managed properly. So I think that's the discipline out of this group and others, absolutely vital.
Okay, very, very good. I think we have all the notes on Benghazi. Let's move next.
Can I just add one thing? You asked about messaging. I would point anybody who wants to get the word out, and I agree that it's got to be about what really happened, to look at the crucial work being done by Tom Jocelyn at the Long War Journal and the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. He has written that on the day the ambassador was killed, the black flag of Al-Qaeda was raised above the compound, four U.S. compounds across the region. So it's unheard of since World War II to have not just an ambassador killed and one compound invaded, but three others and the black flag risen. Simply getting that fact out there, what is the government doing about the loss of sovereignty on four of our posts in the Middle East on the anniversary of September 11th? If you just send that article out or point people towards Tom Dawson's work, that would be a great asset. Thank you. I can do, yeah.
Okay, great addition. So much to be watchful of. I believe now we're going to get to Sarah Macon with the House Update, and she has to run out on us pretty quick.
Yeah,
Sarah?
Thank you. So real quick, I just want to let you guys know that Focus is accredited by the policy, so that's an RSD, Representative McClintock initiative. She'll be on the first day tomorrow. And this is what we're going to get out of, really helpful. It would take default off the table. And it's been a plan that the RSC has tried to encourage this whole commerce. So we're happy that that's been the support of the week. We've also sent out a survey to our members on the debt ceiling to try and understand what they're looking for in exchange for their vote on raising the debt ceiling. Obviously, that's not a vote we want to give without getting something back in return. So we've sent out a serving to our members next week. The Republican leadership is holding a special conference. I think we discussed this exact issue, so hopefully we'll know a little bit more next week where the members are, kind of what they're growling around, and maybe a little bit more about what the RSC is going to do, whether it's a menu of options or what we're going to try and propose. And then I also wanted to call your attention to two letters that Chairman Scalise and other members are sending to Senator Cagle today. What am I going to on? But the first is Representative Lamborn and Chairman Scalise. It's a letter to Senator Cagle asking for details on the implementation of the conscience protection in NDAA. DOD said that there are two instructions that are undergoing revisions to incorporate protections, but there's been no timeline for implementation or discussion about when that is. So a letter clarifying that. The second letter is Representative Fleming and Chairman Scalise speaking for their clarification from Senator Secretary Hagel on a meeting that happened in late April between Weinstein with the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and Pentagon officials. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more clarification about what happened in that meeting, what was said, and if and when we get responses from Secretary Hagel, we'll share that all with you.
Just so you know, we have sent a letter over to Hagel asking for a meeting with him on this whole religious liberty issue in the military. So we're hoping. Yes. We sent it over Monday, and we're hoping to get a meeting with Hagel on this. This is just a more serious issue than people realize when you put it all together. All the incidents and events that have occurred with regards to identifying evangelicals and Catholics as threats to America in a war game scenario at the West Point. This is a very serious issue. Now, sadly, there are people in the conservative world that are downplaying it and acting like it's a conspiracy theory. It is not. It is a very serious issue. Because if you don't know Mikey Weinstein and you don't know who he is or what he represents, this is the guy that forced Franklin Graham, Tony Perkins, and Jerry Boykin to be canceled at speaking engagements of military installations, the Pentagon, Boeing Air Force Base, and West Point. He runs a religious freedom, military religious freedom foundation. The guy is a rabid anti-Christian. But he is also a very evil man. If you read his article that was printed in the Huffington Post, you wonder why they even printed it, because of the language, the terminology they use. Like, he accused evangelicals of spiritual rape. He called us monsters and a variety of other things. It's incredible. Treasonous. He called us treasonous. We've got to stop this guy. And by the way, in case you didn't know, he is directly connected to the Southern Poverty Law Center, because his article immediately defended the Southern Poverty Law Center. So rather than fighting directly, SPLC is fighting a surrogate war through Mikey Weinstein.
Can I just add, on this issue, it's not just about religious freedom for our servicemen. I was asked to address the U.S. Army Chaplain Corps annual conference, and I gave a lecture on the threat doctrine of Al-Qaeda. What are the religious themes they use? How do they leverage the Quran? After in the break, I had several 06s, chaplains, colonels come up to me who said they're glad I gave the lecture, because if they in uniform had said anything that I had said, they would have been fired.
Yeah.
Any mention of religion in understanding Al-Qaeda can get you fired as a chaplain.
And Lieutenant Colonel Dooley is a prime example of exactly what can happen if we're speaking the truth about this.
And we come back to this when we're in doing things, but this is part and parcel of what we've talked about before, is the wrecking operation against the United States military. This is serious. Love to get as much information from every party here about incidents that have happened, any of the background, because we
we think this is a huge issue.
Could one of you just email me and I'll send you as much information as you want? It's seb.gorka@gmail.com. seb.gorka@gmail.com. Just send one person from the team, send me an email.
Did you get that?
And that's right. Those men were